Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At the end of the game, after you guys scored a touchdown, what was the conversation about onside versus kicking off? And then were you hoping that kick was going to go out of the end zone?
The intent was for the ball to go out of the end zone.
Did you guys consider onside kick? I mean, how did that?
Yeah, it did. We felt like if we had kicked it out of the end zone and gotten the three and out that we got, we would get the ball back with around 56 seconds.
That's Ben Johnson. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. Mark's over at Hallis Hall. We're here with you, and we're talking about what we heard out of Ben Johnson's availability yesterday afternoon after he watched the tape, after almost 24 hours after the game started on Monday night, just the day after stuff for him. What did he see? We saw a very somber Ben Johnson in the post game on Monday night. How did that translate to the evaluation that took place for Ben Johnson's first game as a head coach with the Bears? And unfortunately, there were a couple of things that were repeated, themes that we had to deal with last season that resulted in, well, a new head coach for game one.
Trauma, new management, same food. But is it? Maybe the food can get better after a few, times through the kitchen.
Blind item, if I said the Bears had challenge and timeout issues and game decision issues, which year am I talking about?
I could just pick some years out of a hat if you would like.
Yeah, especially last season. And so to see that even come up the way it did this time around, I think gave everybody a little bit of pause. So our Mark Grody of With Mark Grody fame, as John Greenberg said the other day, which I thought was funny. Shout out to John Greenberg. Grody asked Ben Johnson, so what do you want to do differently?
Hi, Ben. You mentioned yesterday that you guys all share responsibility in the loss, including yourself. Is there anything specific that you could share with us that you would want back?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I just talked about the challenge. That's a big one right there, that timeout in the second half. Those things are very valuable, and having that at the end of the game would have been huge for us. I didn't think I called a particularly great game. I could have adjusted a little bit better to the lack of pressure that Flo was giving us. And so I can do a better job there. And then at the end of the game, felt like we could kick it out of the back. We weren't able to get that done. In hindsight, I should have kicked it out of bounds.
Okay. So I think that that's a pretty big list. And I think Brian Flores did toy with the Bears and decide, I got some additions to my defensive line here. I'm going to rush four down linemen and see how this goes. This is a pretty good test for it. So I feel like that was the case. And then as we saw in the second half, that was not the case. Started to be more blitzes, started to be more complex rush packages up front on the line. I wonder how he would have called it differently knowing that.
I think he got caught up in the moment. It's game number one as a head coach. And so much was going on around him, right? And I want to be the offensive play caller, but I have so many more duties as a head coach that this is not the preseason. This is real time, real results. Everything matters so much more than anything I've experienced. I said I thought he went through playing his starters in both the second and third preseason game, not just for them, but also to simulate for himself.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about a road game in Kansas City. Like the bar was not just high for his players, but it was as high as it's going to get for him as well, going up against Patrick Mahomes and company and their first team defense. So I think what happened here was it was the season opener, the home opener for the Bears, who was honored before the game.
The 85 team.
Like, stakes high. It's his first game as a head coach. I'm not saying steps were skipped. I'm saying mistakes were made, though. And he looked introspectively and in that rearview mirror, And not only did he figure out what the mistakes were, in my opinion, based on what he said in that 12 minutes that he gave us, which is way more than 5 minutes because a lot of great questions were asked and answered in a competent way, but also the fact that he's willing to share with us and be transparent about, hey, if I could do this differently, I would. And this is what was going through my head at this time.
Well, and frankly, the answer about the timeout, you know, the 2 minute warning at the end of the game where he said after the game, I thought that that ball was going to be booted into the end zone. And then you hear how he said it yesterday when he says we should have kicked it out of bounds. I think that's him understanding the limitations of his kicker.
Yeah.
Or thusly also the limitations of his punter, still knowing that that might be the best option. The punter who was drafted in the fourth round, by the way.
Is that high for a punter?
Not his fault that he was drafted there. Just lets you know where the priority and allocation of resources are.
Are there other positions you would have rather taken with that pick in the fourth round?
I have a lot of questions about that draft class. That's why we're going to go over it with Anthony Heron later in the show, by the way. We have a robust list today of guests, in case you wanted to know.
Stacked.
I know, as I fiddle through my paperwork here. Big Ant is joining us at 12:25 for two segments, so you won't want to miss that. But that's a big part of it for me is again, how much work did you think you had to do before game one? How much work are you realizing and adjustments that you're realizing you're going to have to make now? Because that might be as good of an example as any, is understanding your limitations of your kicker and therein. That can swing a game for you.
Well, I think that's part of it, right? Is now he has to worry about all three phases of the game and not just the one phase. Look, he took Brian Flores behind a woodshed in each of their previous four meetings when he was the offensive coordinator for the Lions and Brian Flores was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings. He never got held under 30 points. But all of a sudden, instead of just concentrating on what adjustments you want to make with your offense, whether that's the plays you want to run, whether that's the personnel, whatever you want to say that he's been in charge of his entire life as an offensive coordinator, that now is still important, but you got to manage the actual game itself. And I just understand from the way he explained things on that Zoom call yesterday that he now has a way better understanding of what game day is really going to be like.
Funny you should bring that up, Mars Hall, because listen to how Ben Johnson talked about the challenge that was bad and the timeout.
On the challenge, on the Hockenson play, it looked like Noah Sewell dislodged the ball. What did you see on that to throw the flag?
Yeah, I thought I saw knees up, and so that's on me. I got to do a better job listening to the guys up top. I get influenced a little bit for the first time with the people around me, and I got to stay true to the process.
Woo! That was telling right there, because we learned two things. We speculated yesterday, well, does that mean the process isn't working in terms of those guys are not seeing what we all saw on national television? Oh, no. He admits there, hey, that was on me because the guys were not telling me to challenge, but I decided to challenge because I thought I saw something maybe on the Jumbotron. What?
That was my concern last year with Matt Eberflus, because Dan Wiederer said, we know that the Bears have a coach specifically dedicated to that. And therefore, was he being ignored or was the advice bad? Because that's what you're trying to figure out. And I think there were definitely obvious times where he was being ignored. Like there was the play against the Texans that Eberflus challenged that was right in front of him that you could tell based on where we were watching the game through a TV that that wasn't the case. But he's seeing it in person in front of himself. And I think it's very hard to say in those moments, I'm head coach. I want to do this. I'm doing it now. It's my money and I want it now. So like that's essentially what happened there. And it sounds like that was the case with Ben Johnson, or at least what we're hearing is a head coach take responsibility for his team. Even if the advice wasn't correct, you're still taking responsibility. And I think there are coaches sometimes who would get made fun of for how many times they said that's on me. Like Gary Kubiak famously in Houston and in Denver, people would always joke, oh, because they knew the way he said it in the tone because he said it so often. He'd be like, it's on me. That's on me. But that's what you need here. Like if that is coming up often, it's because that guy knows it. That's part of what he did. I mentioned this with the interview with Lisa Salters during halftime on Monday Night Football when she asked Kevin O'Connell, how's the communication going with J.J. McCarthy? What do you think of his play? And he said, it's got to be better and I've got to be better. Did that in the game. Is that weakness?
No.
Absolutely not. You saw them win 27-24.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Clearly they got on the same page by the fourth quarter, because we all know what happened in the fourth quarter of that game. I'll say this, as far as Ben Johnson and replays go, I think he learned a very valuable lesson that will go a long way, which I've been trying to tell people forever and ever. It's just like I tell people, don't trust your opinion, trust the facts as they lay. Don't trust your eyes, trust the people who have access to actual video with different angles.
Well, and credit, not everybody has those coaches on those staffs is what I understand. So credit to the Bears for actually having that guy, if that is the one job. I never think you just have one job on a football team.
Right.
But if that is the main job, then do that job. You know, trust the guy whose job is that job.
So we talk about the main thing being the main thing as we talk about Ben Johnson and his day after press conference here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody. And the main thing being the main thing for him for so long has been about offense and wow and dazzle and I'm going to run all over you and I'm going to do these deep passes after I've been running all over you.
Stumble bum.
Yeah, stumble bum it through. And notice, we didn't see any of those plays in this game that the Bears threw out there for their first game of the season. And I think that goes to show how not comfortable the situation was for a first-time head coach realizing all the other things that he's now responsible for. So when you say make the main thing or keep the main thing for him is being the CEO of a football game and making sure football operations run in a smooth, efficient, and most importantly, mistake-free way. Didn't happen in game one.
No, and I don't know why I'm not as offended by the false start penalties. I think it's
really?
Just because, no, I actually know why now that okay. I said it out loud. I talked about thinking out loud, like sometimes you just come to your conclusion during the show. I didn't necessarily mind it because they needed more pre-snap motion. Like as much as they needed air to breathe to have a functioning offense in the NFL, they needed more pre-snap motion. So you knew that was going to come with some issues. You knew that was going to come with some false starts, some procedure penalties that were not going to be correct because that's how it goes. I always say, like, if I'm not falling when I'm skiing, I'm not trying. Or if I'm not falling in yoga at least once, I'm not trying. I feel the same way when it comes to false starts. In this case, they needed to do those because that's how you know you're trying and you're learning a new process.
Also, it's game one, so mistakes, get them all out of the way now. Understand how low your baseline is and build up from that. What you can't have is repeated weeks of the same types of mistakes. But I do agree with you in that the motion pre-snap penalties, anything associated with that, I did expect a few of those. It wasn't like I was like, they're going to definitely play a clean game with all this extra stuff they have going on before the ball is snapped.
Like, you think DJ Moore's not talented? He had false starts. Like, come on.
But
like,
I will say that that second to last play was just it was just too epitomizing.
And that it goes back to how much are you going to be patient with? What is your level of accepted patience each week? Because you're going to have to figure that out for yourself in order to understand how you want to see this team make progress.
I give more grace to Ben Johnson than I do Caleb Williams, but that's probably because even though we haven't said it yet this season, I'll say it for the first time now. It's still COE, Caleb over everything, because if it doesn't work with Caleb Williams, you have a whole different problem than the one you thought you had coming into this season.
I think you did a good job of establishing that last year. I would like to bring that back as far as our checkpoints.
We can do that.
Yeah, I think that similar to the BBCI, the Ben Brown Confidence Index. Nice job yesterday.
Five-run lead will help, right?
I think you also need to bring back the COE. So that's just me.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.